Maybe you can talk a little bit about this 56-year-old lady and how she presented.
This is a woman who actually had a clinical stage 3B ductal carcinoma of the right breast. It was mammographically detected, but quite extensive. It was palpable, but on exam, the tumor measured probably about 3 by 3 centimeters. So the mammographic appearance was more extensive than what we saw clinically. So we felt that she was a candidate for neoadjuvant systemic therapy. And because her tumor was HER2 positive, we employed a regimen that included dual anti-HER2 therapy with trastuzumab and pertuzumab, plus docetaxel and carboplatin. Clinically, her axilla, she had N1 disease, so she did have a palpal node of about 1 centimeter, and FNA was positive for that.
So this lady also then had a palpable node that was biopsy positive. So she's T3, N1, M0, and being HER2 positive, and her ERP are also positive. She got the most common approach to a patient neoadjuvantly with HER2 positive disease, and that she got both trastuzumab as well as pertuzumab with chemotherapy. How did she do with the treatment?
She, in the first few cycles, tolerated pretty well, but the fourth cycle was complicated by severe diarrhea, renal insufficiency, requiring hospitalization, about a 5-day hospitalization. And when I saw her come in for cycle 5, she really hadn't fully recovered. And I was very concerned about the episode of renal insufficiency.
Was that renal insufficiency related to volume depletion from the diarrhea or from some other
reason? Yeah, it was probably ATN related to volume depletion and dehydration.
And then what was your take on what the diarrhea was from? You said getting 4 different drugs.
Yeah, I think it was an effect of the pertuzumab and trastuzumab, particularly the pertuzumab.
Yeah, I've heard that in general, as a monoclonal antibody, pertuzumab is pretty well tolerated. Do most of your patients who get pertuzumab have diarrhea?
Most of them have some diarrhea, some severe. And in some, it's been a rate-limiting factor where it's forced me to discontinue the pertuzumab. But when she came in, she had had a good clinical response. Her breast tumor was really no longer palpable. Her node was no longer palpable. The surgeon wasn't quite ready to operate on her, and she wasn't quite in good enough shape to be operated on. So I discussed the options with her, and what we decided to do was to treat her with trastuzumab and pertuzumab alone for cycles 5 and 6, which she tolerated well.
Could you kind of just put in perspective, you know, particularly for surgeons who, you know, aren't seeing patients like this all the time, what the risk is of something like this happening? And when you have a otherwise healthy younger patient gets, you know, short-term chemotherapy, neoadjuvant, adjuvant therapy, ending up in the hospital for 5 days. You know, if a patient were to ask you, what's the likelihood that that's going to happen to me, what would you estimate?
Well, of course, it's very regimen dependent. For this particular regimen, it's in the range of about 5 to 10%.
It's pretty substantial. So she had this great response and she went to surgery?
She's actually not gone to surgery yet, but she has tolerated cycle 5 and 6 very well. And based on the fact that her tumor is ERPR positive, we do expect that there will be some residual disease, but we know that she'll benefit from at least a 5-year course of endocrine therapy and from additional anti-HER2-directed therapy, possibly also some chest wall radiation after her mastectomy. So each of those factors will reduce her risk of systemic and local recurrence.
So you referred to the ERPR status in terms of responding to chemotherapy / anti-HER therapy. What do we know, rather than endocrine therapy, in this case neoadjuvant therapy, what do we know about the complete path response rates in ER-positive and ER-negative disease when they get chemo anti-HER therapy for HER2-positive disease?
Sure. Well, first of all, if you start with the HER2-negative population, if you have ERPR negative disease, in other words, triple negative disease, with a typical anthracycline taxane sequential combination, you would expect a pathologic complete response rate in the range of about 35%, maybe 40%. It's substantially lower for ER positive HER2 negative disease. It's more like in the range of 10 to 15%. Patients respond clinically, they have a good clinical response. Some of them may even have a complete clinical response. But we almost always find residual disease at the time of surgery. If you're dealing with someone who has HER2 positive disease, there the overall pathologic complete response rates are higher, but they're particularly high if you're dealing with someone who has ERPR negative HER2 positive disease, where with the TCHP regimen, your pathologic complete response rate can be in the range of 80 to 85%. If the disease is ER positive, it's more like in the range of about 30 to 35%, which is higher than someone, say, who had HER2 negative disease that was ER positive treated with chemotherapy alone.